guys, right now you can get sheets, the most incredible sheets you've ever had in your life, like your grandma's sheets on her bed, like the amazing quality sheets, crisp and clean. And I mean, just amazing quality. They stay like that after every wash. You can pick up these sheets at MyPillow.com right now for 60% off. This is such a huge deal. Please go to MyPillow.com and take advantage of it, but you got to put in the code word Kate, K-A-T-E. Go get the pillows. The slippers are 50% off. The most amazing products, plus you're helping Truth and Radio. I mean, is there anything better? Seriously, it's Truth and Radio. You're actually helping the truth get out while getting wonderful products. Go to MyPillow.com and put in code Kate, K-A-T-E, to get the deals that you're just absolutely going to love. And help Mike Lindell bring out the truth about election fraud, help this show, and really, truly thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Do not listen to this show. The truth can be scary. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
The U.S. electric grid is the largest machine in the history of mankind. It is a marvel of modern engineering. No one person owns or controls it. It's actually 3,000 different companies, both public and private sector, that own or operate little pieces of the electric grid.
Mike Mabee is an Iraq war vet, a former cop, and a self-taught grid security expert. By day, he works for the government. In his spare time, he uncovers public information electric utilities would rather not see the light of day and publishes them on a website.
Hi there. Welcome, Kate Daly Show. So happy to be with you today. And of course, I'm flying solo. Uncle Milty had to go. And so I really appreciate you tuning in. And we hit over 12.5 million on SoundCloud. That's the show after the show. I mean, the show. You know, recorded. Really appreciate all of you sharing the show, of course. And boy, have we grown. So I appreciate you. And of course, what guests I have for you today. It's going to be such a great day. I've got Michael Mabee. You just heard his voice, and that was on a segment on 60 Minutes talking about the grid. Welcome, Michael. How are you?
Hey, it's a great honor to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you for coming. And of course, let me tell you a little bit about Michael. He worked as an urban EMT and paramedic, and of course, a suburban cop and for the federal government. You've had a good deal of military training, 2 wartime deployments to Iraq and 2 humanitarian missions to Guatemala. Decorated by both the Army and the government for your actions on 9/11 at the World Trade Center. And of course, I just really appreciate you coming on and sharing your expertise, because you have a wonderful book. Give us the title of the book.
It is The Civil Defense Book.
The Civil Defense Book. And it is awesome, by the way. Talk about solutions. I was going through it last night, and it's really a fantastic book to get to kind of know exactly, you know, what you can do. But before we get rolling, and we're going to be talking about that too, everybody hears the term electric grid, but what is it exactly?
So the electric grid isn't just one thing, and it's not, you know, owned by one company or run by the government. It's actually over 3,000 different entities, both public and private sector, you know, companies or municipal governments that own or operate a little piece of this vast infrastructure that is involved in the generation, transmission, and distribution of electric power. So as I had said on 60 Minutes, it's the largest machine in the history of mankind. It's also a very, very complex machine that has been built over generations, literally started in the late 1800s in New York City, and it's just been built over generations, you know, until, you know, the entire you know, North America is electrified, you know, unless you just happen to live in an off-grid hunting cabin.
Sure.
You know, we've got electricity all across, even in the rural areas, you know, which what, you know, kind of the thing people don't think about, because, you know, most of us have gone our entire lives, you know, tied to the electric grid. You know, literally almost all of us have always, you know, flipped on a light switch or turned up the thermostat, you know, in our entire life. So you got to go back a long ways before there wasn't, you know, electricity, you know, in most people's homes. And so, you know, over the years, you know, we have become complete heavily dependent on electricity, and people don't really realize it. Even if they experience, you know, a minor blackout that lasts a couple hours or a couple days, you know, they don't realize that everything that makes life possible for 330 million people in the United States is directly tied to the electric grid. The electric grid is literally our life support system. And, you know, should somebody or something pull the plug on the life support system, 330 million people in the United States would no longer have what we depend on, you know, for our existence.
So true. In fact, what are the largest ones in our country? What are the largest, you know, locations for grids?
Well, there's actually three separate grids in the U.S. So there's an eastern interconnection, which is basically, you know, the whole eastern half of the country, and the western interconnection, which, as you might guess, is the west.
Right. Oop. Where'd you go? Did our grid fail? Michael, are you there? Doesn't this always happen? I swear. It always happens on the show. Oh, maybe I should say hi to the NSA. Well, hopefully we will get him right back, and hopefully he'll call back in. I also wanted to know, too, you know, besides the largest, so there's three big grids, as far as other countries go, how do we stack up to other countries? Because, you know, going back to that show, the Revolution, that show was about a decade ago. And when they did a whole show surrounding the grid, which is kind of interesting, I think we have Michael back. Michael?
Yes. Yeah. You do. Don't know what happened.
I don't either, but it happens all the time. Maybe it was the grid. Anyway. So let's, so let's talk about, so you have the Western, the Eastern links, right? And then there was one more in the middle?
And then Texas. Right?
Ah,
Texas. Its own grid. And then, as I was saying, it's also, it's Canada is also part of our electric grid as well. So it's actually not the U.S. electric grid, it's the North American electric grid.
I didn't know that.
Also, and, you know, as we saw from, like, the great Northeast blackout of 2003, which actually that's a very interesting one, started in Ohio with a tree branch that contacted some transmission lines and then caused a cascading failure along the entire eastern United States and Canada. So with 45 million people in the U.S. and 10 million in Canada, that lost power literally as a result of untrimmed foliage hitting a transmission line. So, yeah, so, you know, what happens in the U.S. or Canada in the electric grid, they are related.
It's pretty vulnerable. So as far as other countries go, how do we stack up with our electric grids here?
Well, what I would say about that is that there are many other countries that have addressed some of the threats that we have not addressed here. And particularly when we talk about the threat of electromagnetic pulse and geomagnetic disturbance or solar flares, the Scandinavian countries have taken that very, very seriously. Israel has taken that very, very seriously. But here in the United States, have absolutely no protections in place for an electromagnetic pulse attack and very inadequate protections in place for a geomagnetic disturbance or solar flare. And probably we should talk a little bit about some of the different threats because people might not know what a geomagnetic disturbance is.
So, yes, please.
When I started looking at the threats to the electric grid, I get my data from several different places. One thing I get data from is from the U.S. Department of Energy disturbance report. So every time there's a disturbance in the electric grid, a disturbance in the force, the companies have to fill out a form called an OE-417 to describe that. So I pulled that data from the Department of Energy. Also, I've gotten a lot of data over the years from congressional hearings, testimony, federal reports about these various threats. So the main threats facing our electric grid, as you can imagine, one of them is weather. You know, and, you know, hurricanes, you know, tornadoes. And in recent years, arguably weather has been getting worse for whatever reasons.
Harp. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
We've got droughts. Mm-hmm. We have droughts that are causing fires, which are affecting the electric grid. Mm-hmm. We have very, very intense storms in the United States. So weather is one. Now, another one people don't think about too much is physical attack, but actually that is the number two cause of electric disturbances. So the weather is 53% of the electric disturbances in the grid, as you might expect, but physical attacks against the electric grid is almost 40% of the disturbances, 39.1%. And there have been 832 physical attacks against the electric grid in the last decade.
What do you mean physical attack?
That can go anywhere from vandalism all the way up to spectacular coordinated attacks with multiple assailants against the electric grid, as happened in Metcalf, California in 2013. Mm. We've also had IED attacks against the electric grid in Nogales, on the U.S.-Mexico border is one example. We also recently up in Pennsylvania had a drone attack against the electric grid. So these physical attacks can run the gamut from, a couple of teenagers committing an act of vandalism, which it doesn't make me feel any better that a couple of teenagers can break into a substation and cause damage, because if they can, then what can a determined terrorist force do? But, the physical attacks to me is one of the most disturbing threats that we face, because it's a threat that could be mitigated. It's a threat that could be guarded against. However, the electric utility industry has just flatly refused to do it. Mm. And, Congress and the government has not forced them to do it. So we remain extremely vulnerable. Then other types of threats, cyber attacks.
I think that's everybody thinks that's number one, I think, as far as threats go.
It may be, and it's kind of hard to tell, because like any of these, any of these threats, could cause a catastrophic power loss for the U.S. Which one is most likely to happen? I do know which one is most likely to happen, but I don't know which one will happen next. Ooh, and it could be a cyber attack. That's a major threat, and we've seen cyber attacks in multiple industries in our critical infrastructures. We know for a fact that the Russians and the Chinese have been inside the U.S. electric grid for two decades.
Whoa.
The Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, just admitted a year ago, last June, that U.S. adversaries have the capability of shutting off the U.S. electric grid. So cyber is a huge vulnerability. Now, when you think about cyber, there's a couple of different aspects to it. I mean, there's what people might think of, especially like if you watch Mr. Robot or something, of the hacker sitting there behind a computer, hacking in. But also you have supply chain vulnerabilities. And I'll give you a good example of this. So I just stated a minute or two before that the Russians and the Chinese have been inside the U.S. electric grid for over 20 years.
Right.
And this is from federal congressional report.
Michael, can we come back on this? I want to come back right after the break, because I want you to tell this whole thing just at once instead of splitting it up. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Sure. More with Michael maybe when we come back. Hey, everybody. Kate here. You know, I had Dr. Zelenko on the show a couple of times. He's the one that gave ivermectin to President Trump. Make sure that you go to his website, and it's right at the bottom of my homepage. So please find the Zelenko Z-Stack. He's got two products now. One is the product we're always talking about, with four major ingredients that you need right now to build your immune system. The other one is a detox that's brand new, and I would take advantage of getting that as well. We all need to detox. Dr. Zelenko's website is fantastic. They'll kick the products out quick. Take advantage of this right now while supply chains are still in motion, and get as much of that as you possibly can. He's a fantastic doctor that just calls it like it is. That's what I love about him. So go to that on the bottom of my homepage. Look for the wonderful sponsors and find Dr. Zelenko Z-Stack. Thanks, guys. Hi, everybody. This is Kate. Hey, go to preparewithkate.com. Right now, you can get some food storage in your home, and you can get such a savings on it. You can get a 3-month supply with $150 off, or you can get a 4-day supply for $297. There's some great deals right now, and the best part is you can actually pay over time, but get it in your house right now. So I'm really letting you guys know, preparewithkate.com. It puts you right into Patriot Supply. They're a fantastic company with fantastic products. And I urge you to go ahead and get some food now, as prices are going to be doubling and scarcity is going to be happening. So please get some food under your roof. Preparewithkate.com. Thanks, guys.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Where did all the people go? They got scared when the lights went low. I'll get you through it nice and slow when the world's spinning out of control. Afraid of what they might lose. Might get scraped or they might get bruised. You could beg them once they use. That's why it's called a moment of truth.
Welcome back, Soldier from Gavin DeGraw. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Kate Daly Show. So grateful for that. And of course, go to katedalyradio.com. This show is made into a podcast every single day that you can go check out. And that is on the bottom of the homepage. Also, I just want to make sure you go to mypillow.com because we have such a great partnership with Mike Lindell. He's been so good to the show. And when you buy pillows and blankets and mattresses and mattress toppers, the very best mattress toppers and slippers and all of those things, then it helps the show. And it also helps Mike to expose election fraud, which we all know happened. So make sure that you're going to mypillow.com, but you have to put in the code Kate. That's going to give you up to 90% off on these things. We're practically giving them away since Mike has been enduring all of the culture cancel. So make sure that you are helping MyPillow, you're helping the show, and I really appreciate it. Go to MyPillow.com and enjoy the savings of up to 90%. I still can't believe that, up to 90% right now. What a big, huge blowout that is. It's awesome. So my guest is Michael Mabey, and we are talking about the electric grid. He's very well-versed in this subject and has written a wonderful book about it. And we were just talking about some of the vulnerabilities and some of the things that people just don't know about the electric grid. And there's three major grids, the biggest grids in the United States. One covers the East, one covers the West, and then Texas. And one is tied to Canada. And then you were just talking about the Russians and the Chinese as we were going out to break, Michael.
Right. And so, you know, we know from congressional hearings that the Russians and the Chinese have both been, you know, probing and infiltrating the U.S. electric grid for two decades now, since at least 2003. And what I'm about to tell you is something that's not generally known, but we have discovered that the U.S. is importing extra high voltage transformers from the People's Republic of China, as well as inverters and smart meters, and installing them on the electric grid that the Chinese are already hacking. Let me repeat that, because Jeez. This is just so counterintuitive. So we are importing transformers, inverters, and smart meters from the People's Republic of China and installing them on the electric grid that the Chinese are already hacking. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, my gosh. Is this the first time we've done this? Have we been doing this all along with the
Chinese?
No, we've
been doing this for a long time, but it's just recently come to light, you know, through some research that I did, where, you know, I found out through customs data that we're importing these transformers. And I wasn't the first one. This got reported in the industry news a while back, and that kind of got my attention. Sure. And then there was an incident where the United States government seized one of these transformers and took it to Sandia National Laboratories, and nobody's heard a peep about that since. However, despite that, and despite the, you know, obvious supply chain cybersecurity risk of doing this, we are continuing to import these things in from the People's Republic of China. And perhaps most scary is that there is absolutely no requirement that anybody check any of this equipment before it gets installed. So remember, there are 3,000 different companies in the U.S. electric grid, and when they go to buy equipment that they need, you know, for mm-hmm. their particular utility or operation, mm-hmm. They obviously, if they can't find a source in the U.S. or if a foreign source is cheaper, they're going to tend to do that. And some of the companies in the electric grid are actually public sector or government entities, and they may have procurement regulations where they have to go with the lowest bidder.
That's what I was going to ask you, because
Brilliant at mm-hmm. has been undercutting a lot of the other markets.
Okay.
We used to buy transformers a lot from Switzerland and South Korea, mm-hmm. but now we're importing a lot of these things from China.
Do we not have a place here? Do we not have a place in the USA that makes any of this?
We have lost a lot of our manufacturing over the years, and for many years now, for at least a decade, we have not produced the large transformers in the U.S. that we need for the electric grid. We have to get these from foreign sources.
Jeez.
Hopefully that'll change and we'll start manufacturing more of them.
Mm-hmm.
But presently, we cannot manufacture in the United States the number of transformers that we need. And these extra high voltage transformers are critically important. They're the backbone of the electric grid. The electric grid will not function without them, which brings us to some of the other threats,
mm-hmm.
where if you take out enough of these transformers, and the normal lead time to replace one of these extra high voltage transformers can be between a year to 18 months.
Wow.
So just imagine if we lose a great number of these, we can be looking at a blackout that lasts months, if not years.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Who's in charge of the grid? Grids?
Of electric grid security? That
yes.
is a great question. And the answer is nobody.
Nobody?
The electric grid, nobody is in charge of the security of the electric grid. So it is self-regulated for the most part. The electric grid is self-regulated. There is a not-for-profit corporation called the North American Electric Reliability Corporation that has responsibility for writing reliability standards for just a piece of the electric grid, the transmission piece, or mm-hmm. what's called the bulk power system, so not even the whole electric grid. And those standards are written by the electric utilities. So just imagine if you could write your own laws that you had to obey. That's essentially what's happening, is that the electric utilities write their own standards, which then are enforced by a nonprofit entity. It's not even a government agency.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only government agency that has any authority whatsoever is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which has only indirect authority over the transmission part of the electric grid. The generation and distribution is left to state public utility commissions. And in some states, they might have some type of security standards or regulations. In many states, they don't. But there is no one person in charge of security of the U.S. electric grid.
Amazing. Are the three tied together? I mean, what kind of threat, because you listed some threats, could bring all three down at once?
Okay, and that's a great question. They are connected together somewhat. They operate completely independently, but they're connected together with some DC connections. But here's several threats that could affect all of them.
Okay.
And, we talked a little bit about physical, but a coordinated physical attack could affect all three grids. And actually, if you took out a very small number of key substations, John Wellinghoff, the former chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, said less than 20. If you took out, and actually a leaked report from the Wall Street Journal says that the number is 9. So if you take out, a small number of key substations, you can black out the entire United States.
Oh, my gosh.
So physical attack is one. A cyber attack, also a coordinated cyber attack, could take out, not just one, but could take out infrastructures, across several of the grids. Now, another one, well, and there's actually electromagnetic pulse and geomagnetic disturbance, which are very similar,
mm-hmm.
and they can impact the entire grid, not just, one of the one of the interconnections, but actually all of them. So like an electromagnetic pulse attack, a lot of people have never heard of this, or, you know, the only time they ever heard that term was on some superhero movie they watched. Mm-hmm. But an electromagnetic pulse is a man-made phenomenon when you detonate a nuclear weapon in space. It creates a burst of energy that would be transmitted along these long-distance transmission lines that we have across the U.S. You know, when you're driving down the highway and you see those large power lines, they act as an antenna for an electromagnetic pulse. So they would transmit the energy from that nuclear blast, and when it hits transformers and equipment, it can damage or destroy that equipment. And, you know, as I said, if you damage enough of these transformers, you can't recover from it. You know, there's no way to, ship the, if you lose one transformer, you can probably ship the energy around it and reroute it. And the grid's really good at doing that. And that's how, you know, they avoid blackouts if one transformer goes down. But if multiple transformers go down from like an electromagnetic pulse attack, you know, which could impact, you know, hundreds or thousands of these transformers, that is something we wouldn't be able to recover from easily. And then space weather or a geomagnetic disturbance, sometimes people will hear the term solar flare or coronal mass ejection. It's all basically the same concept. So the sun for billions of years has sent out solar flares in every direction. It does this all the time. And the Earth, as it rotates the sun, occasionally will be right in line to be blasted by the solar flare. Now, typically what that will do is create the ability to see the aurora farther south, because the geomagnetic disturbance in the atmosphere, you know, is what actually causes the northern lights. But for a larger solar flare, it can actually impact infrastructures. And we saw this in 1989 when a relatively small solar flare blacked out Quebec. You know, not a lot of people in the U.S. know about this because, you know, we apparently don't pay too much attention to what happens in Quebec, but they lost their electric grid in a solar storm in a geomagnetic disturbance. Now, one of the scary things about this is there were over 100 grid-related emergencies in the U.S. caused by that solar flare, but we didn't end up losing power, but we did end up having at least one transformer fried in Salem, New Jersey from this solar flare that took out the Canadian grid. Now, the scary thing about solar flares is I had said earlier, I can tell you which one is going to happen. I just can't tell you which one's going to happen next. A massive solar flare is mathematically certain to happen. We just can't say whether it's going to happen 6 months from now or 10 years from now. But about every 100 to 150 years, the Earth gets hit by a massive, massive solar flare. The last one was in 1859. It was known as the Carrington event. And, of course, we didn't have an electric grid in 1859. What we had was telegraphs. And this geomagnetic disturbance was so powerful that it caused a charge to be sent across the telegraph wires, shocking the operators and setting their equipment on fire. Now, if that magnitude of storm happened today, our grid is completely unprotected from a solar storm of that magnitude, and it would go and fry all of the equipment along the electric grid, literally never to return. We would not be able to recover from that type of solar storm. A couple years ago, we missed a solar storm that big by about 2 weeks in our orbit around the sun. It blasted out a little bit ahead of us. So that is the one threat. I can tell you for sure that is going to happen. We just don't know when. As for the other ones, it's anybody's guess. You know, is it more likely that there will be a coordinated physical attack, or is it more likely that there will be a cyber attack or an EMP or extreme weather? I mean, you know, you can kind of take your pick. But when we get into sort of preparing, you know, as families and communities, the steps are all the same. It doesn't matter what takes out the electric grid. If you're an emergency manager or you're a town mayor or a town police chief or fire chief, you're not going to really care what took out the grid.
Right.
You're just going to be dealing with the ramifications,
okay.
You know, when
and
all of a sudden don't have what they need to survive.
We're going to go to a break, but I do have a question about that when we come back. We'll be right back with Michael Mabee talking about electric grids today. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Soldier by Gavin DeGraw. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show you're listening to right now. And go to katedalyradio.com. Visit our wonderful sponsors. Among them, and such a huge support to this show, is Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature is also implementing Liberty Villages across America, which I absolutely love about what they're doing, and making sure that kids and families get to come see historical documents. But they have the most wonderful product, and I highly, highly recommend this product. Of course, you should be taking it now to increase your immune system for whatever comes our way. But also, I would stockpile it a little bit if I were you, because it's 31 fruits and vegetables in capsule form a day. 31. And I know you're not going to eat 31 a day. But if you have nutrition on your shelf, and it'll keep in your food storage and in whatever you've got in your arsenal to help you later on, say if the grid goes down, make sure you have Balance of Nature. Balanceofnature.com, code word Kate. You must use the code word Kate. It helps the show and also helps you. And you get 35% off, a whole third off, plus free shipping. And you get a free health coach. And the apple drink is amazing because the apple drink has the fiber in it. It also can help with blood sugar levels, and it can also help with cholesterol, lowering cholesterol. This is the drink you should be drinking every day, and it's really good. Make sure you get this product, balanceofnature.com. We all should be taking a food supplement right now. So Michael Mabee is back here with me, and let me just say this book is outstanding because it goes through all the ways to prepare. It's called The Civil Defense Book, Emergency Preparedness for a Rural or Suburban Community. The Civil Defense Book by Michael Mabee. You can also go to michaelmabee.info as well. So remember that too, michaelmabee.info, and you can get more information on the grid and all of his materials as well. So I was going to ask you about this. We were just talking about, you know, cities knowing the grid is down, and then they realize they've got to, you know, do all these things for their community. Does the cause determine how long or the length of how long it will be down?
It could. If something actually damages the grid, so mm-hmm. for example, like, you know, the EMP attack or the geomagnetic disturbance or mm-hmm. a physical attack actually damages equipment, then you have to replace the equipment, and that can take quite a long time. Like I said, with the transformers, it's about a year to 18 months lead time to replace one of them. Now, some other types of incidents, so for example, if you've got extreme weather and the damage was just some transmission lines, mm-hmm. Those can be more easily, you know, fixed and right. You know, get things back up and running. Or if it was a cyber attack, which is able to be resolved and it didn't actually damage equipment, then, mm-hmm. you know, a blackout might be for a shorter period. Now, there are cyber attacks that can damage equipment, too, such as the Stuxnet attack, which, of course, the U.S. denies having any involvement, mm-hmm. Where a cyber attack was visited upon the nuclear program in Iran and actually destroyed the centrifuges. So mm-hmm. it's possible that you can destroy equipment through a cyber attack as well. A lot of it would depend on, you know, what type of damage was done okay. by whichever particular threat.
Are we stockpiling this? We seem to be printing a lot of money, and we have trillions just flowing out for any reason. It doesn't even matter anymore. And so why have we not stockpiled this so it doesn't take a year to 18 months to get something from China, which I so disagree with having to buy from China. Why do we not have places here that are doing this? But in any case, are we stockpiling these things?
We are not. And, you know, there's been some talk in Congress about, you know, doing various things, but nothing ever really seems to be done. You know, we haven't been able to pass any comprehensive legislation. And as I said, you know, there isn't any requirement right now that companies in the electric grid do much specifically, other than, you know, some of the standards in the bulk power system, which were written by the industry. But for the most part, most of the electric utility companies don't really, you know, there isn't a requirement that they do anything specific against, you know, to mitigate against these particular threats. And, you know, the industry has fought against such legislation for years. In the last 10 years, they've spent $1.2 billion in the federal Congress alone, in the Senate and U.S. House of Representatives, fighting against, you know, further regulation. And they've also made contributions of about $150 million to members of Congress, particularly members of Congress on the Senate and the House Energy Committees that, you know, would have oversight authority. Now, that's all completely legal in the United States. I think in almost every other company you would call it bribery. but in the United States, it's just called lobbying and campaign contributions.
So can states, you know, we really need some state sovereignty in all of the situations we talk about on this show. But as far as the states go, they can go farther. They can make sure their citizens are safer from any of these things. Are any of the states really going to bat for their own state to do something?
Yes, some states actually have tried to enact state laws to protect the grid. Now, they tend to run across some of the same problems. So all of the lobbying and contributions applies to the state houses as well as federal Congress. So, for example, in Texas, after the Texas blackout, there were several bills introduced that didn't pass that would have provided much more comprehensive protection for the electric grid. But the you know, electric utility lobby didn't like those bills because it would have required them to, you know, to do something.
What happened in Texas? So, what happened? What made that grid go down? That was the strangest situation. February 15th, 2021.
Yep. And you would think that it was a strange situation, but what happened was we saw the cold weather coming a week ahead of time.
Okay.
And the grid operator in Texas, which is known as ERCOT, you know, was putting out warnings that, you know, this cold weather is coming. So we see this cold weather coming a week ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And once it arrived, the Texas grid capitulated and collapsed. And there was all kinds of finger pointing about it. But the important things to remember is that all generation types in Texas failed. So, you know, a lot of people want to blame, you know, the wind turbines and the solar. That's absolutely not true. The wind turbines and the solar went down, and so did the natural gas, and so did one of the nuclear plants.
Good to know.
So it was all you know, generation types that failed.
And the other thing,
you know, I would mention, too, is they have wind turbines in Scandinavia, and they don't freeze. So what's the difference? The utilities down in Texas opted not to have the de-icing mechanisms, you know, put on their wind turbines. So there were, according to the state of Texas, 250 people died. According to some other studies, the number is well up over 1,000 people that died as a result of the loss of the electric grid. And most of the deaths were caused by carbon monoxide poisoning and hypothermia. You know, carbon monoxide poisoning because when people got cold, and it was 0 degrees 24 hours into this blackout. I live in Fort Worth, and it was 0 degrees 24 hours after, you know, we had lost our power. So, you know, it was quite cold. And a lot of people, when they got cold, would do things like go into the garage and turn on their car and sit in their car to try to keep warm and succumb to carbon monoxide poisoning, or they try to bring in their gas grill or their charcoal grill in the living room, you know, things like that.
Jeez Louise.
Now, what's most disturbing about the Texas blackout is this was not the first time it happened. It happened in 2011, exact same reasons. And there were reports and there was legislation and hearings, and the problems never got fixed. It also happened in 1989 for the exact same reasons.
And nothing was done?
Again, nothing was done. So 1989, same thing. 2011, same thing. 2021, 250 people died. Nobody has been held accountable for those deaths. even though if you know or should have known that your action or inaction would cause the death of a person, mm-hmm. that is criminally negligent homicide in most states,
yes.
including Texas.
You're right.
Nobody has been held accountable, even though, you know, it's happened before. We know it will happen again if we don't fix it. We don't fix it. Cold weather comes, people die, and nobody's been held accountable. It's really, really disturbing. Mm-hmm. And people shouldn't stand for this. But,
yeah.
you know, yet here we are having this wonderful conversation because we're allowing this to happen in the United States.
And we're not doing anything. Do you see a grid
and we're
down?
Not doing anything.
Do you see a grid down scenario connected or compounded with other events, like a financial event that I think is
yeah.
coming? Okay.
Now, if you're Mother Nature, you probably don't really care, you know, what mm-hmm. the current state of the economy is. You're just going to blast us with a solar flare whenever it tickles
right.
your fancy. But if I was the Russians or the Chinese or a terrorist organization, I think I would, you know, try to coordinate it to do the most damage. So I would, you know, mm-hmm. try to do my attack either in the heat of the summer, the cold of the winter, or while there was something else going on, like a big, you know, economic downturn, you know, which is already stressing the economy. And bear in mind that the U.S. electric, there's 16 critical infrastructures in the U.S., and these are infrastructures mm-hmm. that have been identified as being so important that the loss of one of them could cause, you know, death or damage to the economy. And all 16 of the critical infrastructures depend on the electric grid. So if somebody pulls a plug on the electric grid, we lose food, we lose transportation, we lose communication, we lose water and wastewater systems, we lose the medical system. We lose everything that we need
right.
to support our human population with the electric grid. So it's not just in people's experience, you know, most everybody's been through a blackout at some point,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they last a couple hours, a couple days, and then the power comes back on. And we've gotten complacent as a society because we think that if there's a blackout, it won't be that bad, that somebody's going to come riding to the rescue.
Right.
Well, I'm here to tell you the cavalry is not coming. We are going to have to be our own cavalry in towns and cities across the U.S.
I know, and I think most people do. There are people out there, maybe the same people that are sitting in their car for warmth and with their car running in the garage, but they don't realize our cars are tied to the electric grid. Everything is tied to the electric grid because the first thing people think is no lights and no cooking, no power, but there's so much more. A lot of the machines, yeah. you know, getting your gas all tied to electric. Everything is tied to electric.
It is. And, you know, one of the things that we will die of by the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands and perhaps millions is going to be waterborne diseases because we do not know how to go to the bathroom without indoor plumbing anymore.
Mm,
and
yeah.
when the grid goes down and we lose our indoor plumbing, or, you know, maybe if you're lucky and you mm-hmm. got a septic system, you might be good for a while. But, you know, in third world countries where they have a prevalence of waterborne diseases, they tend to have a prevalence and lack of clean potable water,
yeah,
you know, for their population,
true.
And also, you know, tend to be areas where water might, you know, become contaminated with waste products.
That's so true.
And then just as if this isn't bad enough, I want you to think about the fact that there are 99 nuclear plants in the United States, 99 active nuclear reactors. And then there's a whole nother list of decommissioned nuclear reactors that still have spent fuel pools. These all depend on the electric grid.
Jeez.
And if you don't have an electric grid, then we've got 99 or more, you know, because of all the spent fuel pools, every
mm-hmm.
one of those spent fuel pools. So a decommissioned reactor, you might think it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer working. Well, you know, but if they've got a spent fuel pool that they're still having to keep immersed in water, you end up with Fukushima. If
Jeez.
The grid goes down for any prolonged period of time.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, the same with the, you know, the other reactors. They all depend on the electric grid.
Mm-hmm. We have about a minute and a half left. And what do you want people to know? In your book, it is full of what you can do and what you should have in your home. And it should be many different kinds of sources and generators to solar to everything else. What would you tell people in a minute to prepare? I know it's not long, but what would you tell them?
Yep. Well, what I would tell them is do be prepared as a family, but what's even more important is you need to go into your town hall, make an appointment with your mayor or first selectman, whoever's in charge. You also need to make an appointment with your town's emergency manager, and you need to ask them what is the plan if there's a long-term widespread power grid outage and we can't get help from the outside. What is our plan? And if you don't like the answer, then you need to start working with them to come up with an answer. You know, certainly give them a copy of the civil defense book if they need some ideas about what a town can do.
Oh, absolutely. And your book is full of them. Really, everybody should have this book. I found it to be really fascinating because it brings up some things that are not normally talked about, too. The Civil Defense Book, Emergency Preparedness for a Rural or Suburban Community by Michael Mabee. I really appreciate you coming on. It's scary, but I appreciate you coming on, Michael. Truly.
No problem. Anytime. It's been an honor.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you. And, of course, I'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. We have another guest we'll be getting to. And what an informative hour, because there are things there that I did not know about the grid system. And I'm so grateful for Michael and all the diligence, all the work that he's done. And hat tip to Mike out there. Thank you. And, of course, we'll be right back. KateDalyRadio.com. Don't go anywhere.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Changing the world one life at a time.
I'm sleeping better. I wake up better. I was so groggy all the time. I didn't want to get up. When I wake up, I'm awake. I've got more energy. It's with my situation. I had two surgeries a year ago within 3 months. I had a hip replaced and a major back surgery. The circumstances where the surgeries were close together, and they knocked me down pretty good. And I'm feeling much stronger now. I just bought a bicycle, ready to start getting back into shape because I have the energy to do so.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature right now. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com for more information or to place your order. Shipping is always free. And don't forget to get 35% off your first order as a preferred customer by using discount code KATE.